I was thinking that there's moments in life. How many of you have this? Where there's moments in life where you feel more alive than other moments. I was actually thinking about that as you guys were worshiping and or leading us in worship. We're all worshiping, but as the team was up here leading us in worship, I was just thinking, I feel alive in this moment. And I think about that with your story there, Zeph, is one of the most exciting things for me in ministry is when somebody experiences freedom in Christ. Those are those moments where you're like, I feel alive in this moment. This is awesome. I love it when somebody comes to know Christ. I love it when somebody that may already know Christ, but there's this this chain, this bondage of addiction. Maybe it's unreconciled relationships. I love it when those chains are broken and that person experiences freedom in Christ. I think that's why we do what we do, is to see God glorified and to see his people set free. Now, on the flip side, one of the most disappointing, disheartening things in ministry is when you see people walk in bondage. And they continue to walk in that bondage over time. And I think about that. Think of God's design for us. Think about his design for us in Christ. That you and I, by creation, by his order, you were designed to experience a relationship with God, and you were designed to flourish, to go out and experience his freedom. Now, what happens in my life, probably your life, is sometimes we miss out on that freedom, and we take one of two paths. Take one of two paths away from the freedom that we have in Christ. One path is licentiousness. That's kind of, and the other is legalism. The first path is I'm going to do what I think is going to make me happy. And the motto for the people that are walking on that path is, if it feels good, do it. You heard that one? Okay. And here's the problem with that path. In the long run, it doesn't deliver what it promises. It will for a short term. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But long term, it is not going to deliver on that promise. The other path is I rely upon myself, my good works, to make me right with God. And this person's actually a fairly insecure person because they're always looking. They're always saying, is it good enough? Did I do enough? They're looking for approval from God. They're looking for approval for others. And it's a look at me, look what I've done. And it's a path that is rarely filled with joy. And it's a path that doesn't deliver, and it's a path that is insecure. Now here's the thing, because you look at those paths, and usually the legalistic person, usually we look and we go, man, that guy's a pretty good person. Look at the things that he's doing. Look at the things here. Let me tell you something. Both paths are sinful. Both paths are not pleasing to God, and both paths wreck flourishing for you and for those around you. Because none of us live in a bubble. Even those of you that live in the bubble, you don't live in a bubble. What you and I do affects the people around us. There's an illustration. I used it a while back, and I want to use it again because I think it is so powerful. N.T. Wright, he says this. When God looks at sin, what he sees is what a violin maker sees if a player were to use his lovely creation as a tennis racket. Man, that really speaks to my heart. Can you imagine that? You're this master violin maker. You make this instrument that can make beautiful and complex and creative sounds, and you see it reduced to an instrument that hits a ball. I mean, that's just got to be heartbreaking. And as the creator, you got to be like, no, that's not what I made that for. You're abusing what it's for. You're destroying a valuable instrument. You're destroying its use to others. Others do not get to enjoy because of what you're doing. This is a picture when we pursue other paths than God's. When we do this, we're not walking in our purpose. We're not walking in our identity in Christ. And as we continue in Galatians chapter 2, Paul's going to shout out to the Galatians, No, stop. That's not what you were created for. Here's something. You could write this down mentally, whatever. When you're given the option of two bad or sinful choices, choose neither. Choose neither. Say, what's the third option here? Well, the third option is the path to freedom in Christ. And Paul's going to walk us through what does freedom in Christ look like. Now, and I want to remind us this as we continue through Galatians, what's at stake is the gospel. The gospel is at stake. There are people, and you look at, okay, what's the big deal? Well, this is the first century church. The gospel can start distorted in the first century church. What happens 2,000 years later? It is destroyed, but thankfully the gospel is more powerful than that. And so what is at stake is this whole idea of how are we justified by Christ? Is it because we say, God, look at all my good works, look at what I did? God says, okay, yeah, come on in. The kingdom's yours. Or is it, door number three, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, for defeated sin, defeated death, and those that put faith in Jesus Christ, those people are in right relationship with God. I'm going to take door number three on that. So let's pick up. We're at Galatians chapter 2, and if you need a Bible, there's some in the seats in front of you. It'll be up on the screen. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And Paul writes here, he says, "Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up there because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, I set before them the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running in vain." So here's Paul. He's going to go in front of the other apostles. And we need to understand what Paul's saying here. He's not concerned. Paul's not saying, I'm not sure if I understood the gospel correctly. That's not what Paul is saying there. He's concerned, do the other apostles know that he's presenting the gospel correctly? And it's not about Paul. Okay? It's not about Paul needing their approval. You ever try to live for the approval of others? Man, that's a rough way to live. Okay? He's not seeking their approval. And there's nothing wrong with being in right relationship or what, but he's not seeking their approval. People that are free in Christ do not need the approval of others. They have the approval of Christ. In fact, there's something bigger for him. His concern is the gospel. And if you and I are free in Christ, we're going to be more concerned what people think about the gospel, what they think about Jesus, than what they think about us. Okay? That is way more important. And if you don't like me, but you love my Jesus, that's between you and Jesus that you don't like me, okay? I want people to be more concerned. I want people to think more about Jesus than they do about me. What they think about me is secondary or of no concern. Paul continues verse 3. He says, "But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because the false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that we might be brought into slavery. To them, we did not yield in submission for even a moment. Why? So that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. It's not about Paul, it's not about anybody else, it's about the gospel. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. I'm not sure, you know, what anybody knows about this passage. If you know from the Old Testament, you have the Abrahamic, you have the Mosaic covenant, and in those covenants, all males had to be circumcised. So now, theologically speaking, circumcision or non-circumcision, that's not an issue here. Paul actually had Timothy with him at one point in time, and he wanted to win an audience with some Jewish believers, and so he had Timothy circumcised. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, Timothy, we need to do this for the gospel, and this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. But so he goes on. So why does Paul in this case say no? Do not submit to them. Because of the gospel. Because in one the other moment, it wasn't a gospel issue. In this moment, you have people saying, unless you do this, you are not saved. And that's why Paul says we're not going to submit. We're not going to yield for one moment here. Because there's too much at stake for us to do this. Now, let's get down to verse 11. And Paul says, but when Cephas, which is Peter, that's an Aramaic name, Peter's a Greek name, it says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, let's make sure we understand what's going on here. So Peter comes. Let's say you guys are Gentiles. You guys are Jewish over here, and here's Peter. He's hanging out. He's eating their food. He's sitting at their table. He's in their house. He already had this vivid revelation or vision from God. I don't know if you remember that Acts chapter 10. This sheet comes down, and there's all kinds of food that were not kosher, and God says, you know, rise, kill, and eat. And he's like, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean or common. And God says, don't call common what I call clean. And in other words, hey, you can eat this, and you need to quit calling these people common and unclean. And so Peter's eating with these guys, and you know, he's enjoying some good food. They're exchanging recipes. You know, he's like, here's how you make falafel. And they're saying, hey, the secret to collard greens is the bacon. And they're eating that. And let's say, Zeph, you're Barnabas. Zeph's a Barnabas, right? Barnabas is the son of encouragement. So he joins in, and we're celebrating. We're enjoying life together. Now, these guys here, they come in. I'm Peter. I'm hanging out with you guys. I see them coming. This is like middle school. This is like Mean Girls. All of a sudden, your company.
I got bacon.
Oh, man. I mean, Peter must have been torn, right? Bacon, my friends. He's torn. But all of a sudden, your food and your company, it isn't good enough anymore. And here's the thing. Peter cared more about what people thought about him than the gospel. And people knowing the gospel. And listen to verse 13. It says, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically, along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray. Man, don't underestimate the power and the influence that you have. I mean, you know things are bad when the son of encouragement is led astray. I mean, that's the guy you're like, you expect Barnabas to go, hey, wait a minute. God loves the Gentiles. God died for the Gentiles. What's going on here? Which stands as a reminder. If some of the greatest leaders in the first century can be led astray, you and I can be led astray. We need to come back to the gospel. We need to come back to Christ. Now, and here's the thing. If you would ask anybody, let's say this is everybody that they're talking about here, we're all in the same room. If I would say, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah? They would all say yes. The people that are saying, you need to follow these laws, you need to do this, you need to do this, we say, they believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They got the order of works and salvation mixed up, but they believe Jesus was the Messiah. Here's the issue. Did they live the gospel? They heard the gospel. Peter preached the gospel. But did he live the gospel in that moment? No. He's not living the gospel in that moment. And because some preaching of some and some actions of a leader, the gospel is in danger here. I remember as a young Christian, I was hanging out at these people's house. And how many of you are old enough to remember that times where, like if you were a Christian, I mean, you didn't go to movies. Did anybody know people like that where you didn't go to movies, you didn't do this, you know, you didn't drink, you didn't chew, you didn't go with girls who do, all of those things? So I'm a young Christian. I mean, like a couple months being into Christianity, and for me, it was like leaving Earth and going to Mars when I first became a Christian. And we were watching TV, and there was a knock on the door, and we were watching like some really cheesy, corny Christian programming. That's what they did back in the 80s, but sometimes they still do. But the people turned off the TV and hid the TV in the closet because the person at the door was from the church. And they were concerned what they were going to think. Now, I'm a Christian for a couple months, and I'm confused. Because I'm like, is this right or is this wrong? And if it's wrong, isn't it wrong if the people are not at the door? I'm just thinking through this whole Christian thing. Like, so do I need to throw away my TV? Do I need to, what does it mean to be a Christian? Verse 14. Paul says, but when I saw their conduct, so their conduct where Peter separates himself from the people that he's having fellowship with, he says, when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before all of them, if you, though a Jew, live like the Gentile, in other words, Peter, you got bacon on your breath, bro. You're hanging out with the people here. You're having fellowship. He says, if you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? He's calling an apostle to the carpet here. And he says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And Paul's going to explain himself. He's going to present the gospel. Because that's the answer. He says, verse 16. He says, yet we know. Listen, we know. Peter, you know this. That a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, doing all those things, you know that. That's not what gets you right with God. It's faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by what?
Faith.
Faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. We are made right with God by God. And the problem with Peter's actions is this whole group over here, shame on you guys, no, just kidding. This whole group over here thinks that what was being said was right. I mean, Peter backed up their actions, right? His actions said, yeah, these people are right. You need to do all these things. And what fascinates me is there's a lot of things that Paul could have said. Paul could have said, Peter, quit showing favoritism. Peter, you're a racist. Right? He's choosing the Jews over the Gentiles. He could have said, quit being a racist. Instead, he takes Peter back to the gospel. Most of our problems are gospel problems. You get the gospel wrong, you're going to get people wrong. You're going to get living wrong. And we need to go back to the gospel. Sometimes we think of the gospel as just this beginning place, and then we leave the gospel. No. The gospel runs through our whole walk with Christ. And so it's not something you move on from. The gospel is something that informs my entire life. The gospel is something that penetrates all of our lives and what we do. And here's a question you and I need to answer. Not just do I know the gospel, but does my life show the gospel? Is the life that I live, is it in line with the gospel? You can look at Peter in that moment, and you can, in that moment, is Peter's life in line with the gospel? No. Not in that moment. So something needed to change. And here's another question that I need to answer. The way I view every other person on the planet, is that in line with the gospel? Not just the people you like, but the people you don't like. Is that in line with the gospel? Well, it's not. Something needs to change. And it's not the gospel. It's me. And here's the thing that we need to answer. Has the gospel penetrated the depths of your heart? Has it penetrated the depths of your heart? And here's the problem. The problem's about this distance. I know the gospel. Do I live the gospel? And do I allow that to penetrate me? And here's the thing that Paul could have said to Peter. He could say, Peter, you know what? Not only do you not have the right to feel superior to others, is that true, right? We don't have the right to feel superior to others. I think what Paul would say is, you don't have to. In Christ Jesus, you don't have to. You can actually be set free from that. You know why? Because my worth isn't made in comparisons here. My worth is found in Jesus Christ, who died for me to set me free. Verse 17, Paul's going to answer an important question. Because every time I read these things, I think of this question myself, and maybe you're thinking about this. You're going, well, isn't the law important? You know, shouldn't we do good things? Jesus said this, and I don't think he just said it like, you know, hey, just ignore that because you're free in Christ. He said it. So Paul's going to answer that question, verse 17. He says, but if in our endeavor to be justified by Christ we are too found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. Translation is heck no. We have not been given freedom to sin as we please. Because that's not freedom. That pathway does not lead to freedom. Christ is not a promoter or an agent of sin. He is the agent of freedom. You want freedom, it is found in Christ. Because here's the thing with the law. We talked about this last week. The law doesn't give us power to obey its requirements. Okay? That doesn't have the power to do that. In fact, when we break the law in one point, the law just looks at us and says, you're guilty of all points. You break the least of these, you've broken them all. What does the law do? The law tells us where we're off. It's kind of like if you get up in the morning, and those of you who have hair will understand this, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, and you look at that and you go, wow, this is all off. You ever, maybe some of you look in the mirror and you go, who is that person staring back at me? But here's the thing. So the law is kind of like a reflection. Shows you what's off, what's wrong. How many of you take the mirror off the wall and fix what's wrong? Nobody. You don't take the mirror off the wall and comb your hair, right? It's not able to do that. But here's what Paul and his friends did. Paul's a former Pharisee. What he and his friends did, they built this impossible system. And where if we follow all these rules, all the dietary, all the washings, you know, we don't touch this, we don't touch that, if we follow all of these things, then we're made right with God. Jesus says, survey says, okay. Verse 18, Paul says, for if I rebuild what I tore down, Paul's like, I'm not going down that road anymore. He says, if I do that, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Catch what he's saying? He's saying, if I do that, you know what I'm doing? I'm denying the grace of God. I'm basically saying, Christ, that's cool that you died for my sins. You took that upon yourself. You used that to set me free. But I got this. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because Christ wouldn't have died on that cross if you had it all together. We need to remember, the gospel is good news, not good advice. Good news tells us something has happened. Advice says you need to do this. You and I have good news. And Paul's going to give us the answer here. He's going to say, For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Here's the answer. Here's the problem, Peter. You've forgotten something. I have been crucified with Christ. He says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's this tremendous irony. Anybody see an irony in this thing where Paul's saying, if you want to walk a life of freedom, you're going to have to die. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 10, 38, 39. He says, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. Here's what Paul's saying to the Galatian church, what he's saying to us. He's saying, not only did Christ identify with us on that Christ, but we actually spiritually participate with him. And what he did. In Romans, we're told this, that death has jurisdiction over a person as long as they live. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying we died with Christ. We participated with what Christ did on the cross. So the claim that the law has over you, you sin, you die, that claim's not valid. You know why? I've been crucified with Christ. I've identified with Christ what he did on the cross. My sin was dealt with on the cross. I don't have to bear that burden anymore. It was dealt with on the Christ, on the cross. And here's what Paul is saying. He's saying it to Peter. He's saying it to me when I walk down the wrong path. He's saying, you have an identity problem. He's saying you don't know who you are. Right? If I'm hanging out with you guys, these guys come along and I move apart, I have an identity problem. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I am. And I don't know what Christ did for me. He's saying, Peter, that is not freedom. You're not walking in freedom. In fact, you're walking in an old way. You're walking in an old way that says separate yourself from those that are different from you. He's saying that is an old, worn out way. And there's a new path. There's a new way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I've died to that old garbage. I've died to an old way of living. I've died to walking down this path. Ironically, I die, but like Christ rose from the dead, we live. We live a new life, a freedom. It says, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. There's a question. Before the question, worship team, if you guys want to come on up. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, maybe on a weekly basis, maybe a daily basis, maybe a moment-by-moment basis, you find yourself occasionally walking down an old path? Well, here's the solution. The solution is to remember who you are in Christ. To remember that, you know what? I don't have to go down that path. I don't have to view people the way I used to view them. I don't have to get my acceptance and fulfillment in this thing over here. Because I've been crucified with Christ. That old me is dead and gone. Died on the cross with Christ. And the life I now live, I live by faith. Do I fully understand what it means that you and I died on the cross of Christ? I really don't. I can explain it theologically. But how do I live? I live by faith. I believe that, okay, God, I don't fully understand this, but I'm going to believe it's true. Because the one who died for my sins and my salvation says true. And when a dude rises from the dead, I'm going to say, okay, I want to listen to what you have to say. And so I live this new life by faith in Christ. I die to an old way. I live to a new way. Verse 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let me offer us a word of prayer. Father, so thankful that in Christ Jesus, we don't have to see people. We don't have to see ourselves in an old way. You're the one that's making all things new. We're so thankful for what you did on that cross. We're so thankful that we can identify with you. We can die to that old way and live to a new way in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have put your Spirit in us. I pray this morning that if there's anybody that's walking down that old path, maybe they've never walked down the new path, that today would be the day salvation. Today would be the day that we'd say, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Lord, have your way with your people. It's in Christ's name we pray. As the team is playing this morning, and if you have prayer needs, we're going to have a couple prayer warriors up here. They would love to pray with you. They'd love to walk you through anything you're struggling with.